Last week we began a series that I've entitled Show and Tell. Now we talked about show and tell in your faith and the reality that we should have a faith that serves, a faith that saves, and a faith that shows. If we don't have a faith that's evident outwardly, then there's a good chance that we don't have a relationship with the one that we claim to know. When Jesus is in us, he changes us and it affects how we live, how we behave. Today I want to talk about show and tell in your family. Now last Sunday, of course, was Mother's Day, and we celebrated mothers, and we honored mothers that day, and for good reason. Moms do so much for us. Moms are special people, and they can't be replaced, and often they give so much of themselves to take care of us throughout our life. So we can't thank moms enough, but today as we look at family, we're going to look at one man who made some mistakes with his family. Wasn't always the leader that he should have been with his family, but in the end got it right and led his family the way that he should have. We're going to actually look at more than three different texts this morning, but we're going to begin by looking in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Abram's wife, Sarah, had not born any children for him, but she showed an Egyptian slave named, an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarah said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarah said. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is truth. And God, we pray you'd open our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to hear from you today. Lord, help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers, to apply your word. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. In this text this morning, I want you to see some things that we find in this text. First of all, we see listening to family over God. Listening to family over God. Some people want to argue that family should be first, but I want to say to you, based on the authority of the Word of God, not my opinion, that the Word of God is very clear on this, that God must be first. Your family relationship will never be what it should be if God is not first in your family relationships, if God is not first in all of your relationships. Just in case you think that I'm making this up, Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26, the words of Christ: "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." Jesus makes it very clear that he must be first in our lives. Now, we need not take that passage of Scripture out of context of the entirety of Scripture. We know we are to love our parents. We know we are to love our spouses. We're to put others ahead of ourselves. Clearly, the Word of God teaches children to honor and obey their parents. But Jesus was simply using an emphatic illustration to help us to understand the cost of following God. We must love God more than we do our family. Abram and Sarah did not put God ahead of themselves. Abram and Sarah chose to put one another first. You see, Sarah had not been able to conceive a child, and she had lost her trust in God. She wasn't sure that God was going to fulfill the promise that he had made, so she decides to step along the process, to move it up, to pick things up. And instead of being the leader in the home that God would have him to be, Abram chose to be a follower. Abram chose to agree with her and do something that he knew God did not want to take place. They sinned against God because they put one another first. Sarah wanted Abram to have offspring, but Abram wanted to honor his wife and follow what she said. but that's not what God had asked either one of them to do. Whenever we choose our wisdom over God's wisdom, we get in trouble. I'm sure you've never chosen God's wisdom over, your wisdom over God's wisdom, but I have a lot of times. But I remember one specific time when Haley was just a baby. We had a car at that time that we'd actually bought new. When we bought that car, we'd spent a lot of time praying about it, a lot of time seeking God and what He wanted us to do, and had really given that to the Lord, and the Lord led us to a good deal. Otherwise, we wouldn't have bought new, because typically I buy used, but we bought new, and God had given us a good deal. But we got that car, and Haley was a baby, and we put her in the back seat, and it was a car, and she couldn't see out real well. And then the other thing that was wrong with that car is the seat belt buckles on it were designed so that they would pinch the fire out of your arm if you set them on there. I'm not kidding. It would leave a mark. So obviously it was God's leadership for us to trade that car and get a van, a minivan. That was the thing. We needed a minivan. And I'll never forget, we were test driving that minivan. I still remember where we were on the road. That's how clear this is in my mind. I still remember when Janice asked me, "What do you think?" And as God is my witness, this is the truth. In my mind, what I knew was, this is not God's will. But the words that came out of my mouth were, "I like it." Sometimes I'm just dumb. Now, that may seem like a small thing, but I got to be honest with you. That decision literally cost us thousands of dollars and ultimately disobedience to God's will. You say, well, you purchase a car, you pray about that? Well, it's God's money, isn't it? We got to do things based on His leadership, not our wisdom. We must love our families and honor our families and do all that we can to support our families, but we must not elevate our family above God. I was talking with a former church member a few years ago. Her daughter at that time, still her daughter, but her daughter at that time was graduating from Georgia Tech. Still a good girl anyway. I'm kidding. Sorry, James. It comes out sometimes. No, she's a great young lady, and she had been very active in a ministry there at Georgia Tech and had done several mission trips with this particular campus ministry. And when she was getting ready to graduate, they offered her a year internship with that ministry. Well, she had job offers on the table, good paying jobs coming out of school, and she chose to do this ministry that didn't pay much of anything. And her mom had to admit, said it was kind of hard, knowing what she had offered to her, not to want to tell her to take the paying job. But her mom also said, "I didn't want to get in God's way of what God wanted in her life." It's so easy for us to sometimes look at things, and because things seem hard, especially for our family, we want them to choose the easy way rather than what God may be leading them to do. Now, let's be fair. Sometimes what God leads us to do is pretty easy to do. But there are other times when God's leading us to do something that it's a challenge, that it's hard, that it will cost us something. And if we love our family, we're going to be obedient to God, and we're going to encourage them to be obedient to God as well. Abram and Sarah chose their own counsel. They chose their own wisdom, and they definitely suffered the consequences of following their own desires. God doesn't always act as quickly as we would like for Him to, but God's timing is perfect timing, and we can trust Him. And I know the times when I've tried to hurry God along, I've messed things up. When I wait on God's timing, God gets it right every time. But I'm grateful that God loves me and He chooses to use me in spite of my shortcomings and all of my impatience. God still uses me anyway. Not one of us is perfect, and yet God can shine His light through us if we'll just be available to listen to Him. So be careful not to put your family ahead of God. So we see listening to family over God, but secondly, we see leading your family to doubt God. And for that text, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. From there, Abraham traveled to the region of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he lived in Gerar, Abram set about his wife Sarah, She is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, had Sarah brought to him. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, you are about to die because of the woman you have taken, for she is a married woman. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, would you destroy a nation even though it is innocent? Didn't he himself say to me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother? I did this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you did this with a clear conscience. I have also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I have not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, you and all who are yours. Here is Abraham, a man of God. And yet, out of fear for what King Abimelech may do to him because of Sarah's beauty, he tells Abimelech that Sarah is his sister. He didn't have enough faith in God to protect him, so he comes up with a scheme. And you need to know, this is not the first time Abraham did this. If you go back in Genesis 12, he did the same thing with Pharaoh. Again, he said, she's my sister. Abraham, a man of great faith. So we find doubting Abraham lying to Abimelech, and then God comes to Abimelech in a dream in the night and tells him he's going to destroy him. Abimelech hadn't touched her. He didn't know that what Abraham had done, so he questioned God as to why he would do this to him for something that he didn't know about. And in his dream, God told him that he knew his heart, that he knew that he had not done anything, but he told him to restore her to Abraham, and that Abraham would bless him, that Abraham was a prophet. Folks, I hope you see in this that God works through people who are flawed. God works through people who make mistakes. Now, that is not license to go out and see how many mistakes you can make. But it is to say, all of us are flawed, and God can use us in spite of our flaws. God can use us in spite of our frailties. Don't let the enemy tell you that you've done way too much wrong for God to ever be able to use you. Abraham had effectively turned his wife to prostitution, and yet God chose to use him in spite of his sin. God did not allow his fear to lead to further shame, and he didn't stop working through Abraham. Abimelech, needless to say, was mad at Abraham about what he had done in the compromising position that he had put him in. But he obeyed God, and he restored Sarah to her husband. Because Abimelech was obedient to God, because he blessed Abraham, God blessed Abimelech and restored his health and gave him children. Abimelech proved to be obedient, and he gave land and animals and slaves to God's man Abraham, and God took care of Abimelech's needs. Abraham was still trying to figure out how to follow God, and he showed in his humanness when he doubted God, and he led his wife to doubt God. I have to confess, there have been far too many times in my own life when I've doubted whether or not God would come through. When we felt called to seminary, we were living in a double-wide trailer on my, at that time, pastor's property. Literally, not right in front of his house, but the way his property sat, he was a good bit off the road, and we were kind of in front of his house and off to the side a little bit. So when we felt led to seminary and where God would want us to go, you might imagine that I was a little bit concerned about who would take this trailer. You know, here it is on my pastor's property. It's not my property. I can't sell the land with it. I'd have to get somebody to take the trailer. Well, in God's perfect plan, he brought the pastor's daughter and son-in-law back to the area about the time that we were called to seminary. So they were willing to take that trailer and take it over. Well, in the midst of that, God working all these details out and lots of details being worked out, the gentleman who had sold me that trailer was one of my church members, and he owned a trailer park. Well, he got the trailer for me, and he came to me and said, he said, Dan, I'm not sure that the taxes were paid on that. You may have to pay sales tax on that trailer. Well, I'm thinking, oh, this is wonderful. Here I am, we're leaving jobs, going to no promise of jobs, and now you're bringing this possible big expense before me. What am I going to do? So my first reaction, of course, was to try to figure it out. You ever been there? No, you probably just get on your knees and start praying. You go directly to God. But me, in my rational brain, I go and I try to figure this out, and I'm thinking, well, I didn't ask the son-in-law to give us any money down, just to assume the loan, and so I'll go to him and tell him he's going to have to pay that. Well, you can imagine how he responded to that. He didn't say any ugly words, but he let me know he wasn't going to pay it. I was stressed over that. I was doubting whether or not God was going to take care of that. I want to tell you, I never received a bill for taxes on that trailer. God was in control. God had taken care of it all along. But I was trying to control it. I was trying to take care of things, and I wasn't trusting God. We may doubt God. We may try to do things in our own power to try to resolve the situation, but we have to learn to trust God. That's not to say that God hasn't given us the ability to think, the ability to reason, and to do things as He leads, but we shouldn't rely on our reason and our thinking first. We should rely on Him and let Him lead us. Sometimes I act as if I don't want to bother God with a situation. But can I tell you, our Heavenly Father wants us to come to Him with every situation, with every burden, with every concern. We have to fight the urge to try to do it on our own and instead trust Him and rely on Him. I know we say, well, what if God wants to do it a different way than I want to do it? Then God has a perfect plan. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God has perfect plan, and He will work it together for our good when we trust it to Him. Don't doubt God. He knows best, and He wants the best for your life. God worked in this situation in spite of Abraham's doubt and fear. God is able to overcome things that we would never think even existed or would need to be overcome. God's already at work meeting those. God is bigger than any fear that paralyzes you. God is bigger than any situation that seems insurmountable to you. God could shut the lion's mouth. He could quench the raging fiery furnace, and He can help you through whatever things may be besetting you right now, whatever may be causing you concern and worry right now. The question really becomes, are you willing to give it to God? Are you willing to trust God to take care of it? God blessed Abraham in spite of his doubt. But I have to wonder, honestly, what blessing Abraham might have missed out on because he didn't trust God in the first place. So we see listening to family over God, and we see leading your family to trust God, to doubt God. The third thing I want you to see is leading your family to trust God. For that, we're going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Now, I know you recall the account. God instructed Abraham to take that promised son, the promise fulfilled. He instructed Abraham to take him up, to prepare an altar there, to lay him on that altar and sacrifice him before the Lord. Abraham was obedient to the extent that he had literally already raised his knife, raised his weapon to take care, to sacrifice his son. And God stopped him. And God provided a lamb without blemish for the sacrifice. That day, God spared Isaac's life. A little farther forward in time, God provided the perfect lamb to pay the price not only for Abraham, Isaac, to pay the price for Dan, for Corey, for Tim, to pay the price for all of us. The perfect, spotless lamb took our place on that altar. I can't imagine what Abraham was thinking as he's placing his son there, but God the Father knew what was about to take place. Now keep in mind, this same Abraham listened to Sarah's advice over God's will. This same guy had said that Sarah was a sister instead of his wife. The same guy grew in his faith, willing to say that even Isaac, his promised one and only son, was not more important than his relationship with his heavenly Father. What about you? What is it that God wants you to place on that altar today? What is it that's more important than God in your life right now? What is it that God wants you to let go of? You see, that day Isaac saw firsthand what it means to be completely sold out to God. He saw through his father's example what it means to lay everything on the altar before God. Abraham, by his act of obedience, taught his son to follow God and to trust God. But Isaac was obedient that day too. Many scholars believe, and I tend to agree, that Isaac wasn't a 12-year-old, 13-year-old child. That when Abraham placed Isaac on that altar, that he was probably somewhere around 33 years old, pointing to a day just a little time down the road when a 33-year-old Savior would hang on a cross. And there wouldn't be any other way. There wouldn't be any other lamb in the thorns, a lamb caught up in the thicket, that Christ was the only way. And praise God, he was willing to go, and he is the only way. Moms and dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, what we show to those around us is what they learn about Christ. What example are we setting? What example are we setting for our children? What example are we setting for our grandchildren? Abraham set a tremendous example that day. I was blessed growing up to have great parents. I grew up on a sharecropper's farm in a little wooden shack. That was somebody else's life. I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood in a three-bedroom, two-bath ranch house. Parents, middle income, both working, making ends meet best they could. But my parents loved the Lord. My parents taught me about Christ. They took me to church. They didn't send me to church. Both of my parents, at points along the way, taught Sunday school. My 84-year-old mother still teaches Sunday school. They set an example before me of how to follow Christ, of how to live for Christ. My parents were there for me. When I was growing up, my father took me to play golf, and as I got older and started playing in tournaments, he was there for those tournaments as much as he possibly could be. And when I played baseball and when I played basketball, I honestly don't remember a time when he wasn't in the stands, when he wasn't there watching. He was there as often as he could be. My mom would take me to practice. She was there. They set an example for me. They modeled for me what it means to love your children and what it means to point them to Christ. They weren't perfect, but they did everything they could to point me to Christ. Abraham taught Isaac through his actions. Abraham didn't just say that he had faith in God. He showed that he had faith in God. Like I said, my parents weren't perfect. Sometimes they said things and did things that weren't Christ-like. But on the whole, they did everything they could to point me to Christ. My children have seen me say and do things that I would rather not repeat. But I pray that they've learned more about living for Jesus than they've learned about living for the world. Moms and dads, pray for your children and pray with your children. Model for them grace and love, the grace and love that Jesus has exhibited in your life. Paul taught others to follow his example as he sought to be a living model for them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul said this, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we didn't act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. We are to set an example for those around us. As Christians, all of us would do well to realize that it is our responsibility to live a godly life before others. Too many of us would rather say, don't do what I do, but do what I tell you to do. Don't do the things that I do, do what the Bible says do. God's called us to live in such a way that we don't have to make that excuse. That we can be a living example for those around us. He wants us to lead others to Him, even through the way that we live and not in just what we say. Ask God to help you live as a model that others can follow, not just talk about. So we see listening to family over God, and we see leading your family to God, and we leading your family to doubt God, and we see leading your family to trust God. I know many of us somewhere along the way, we've struggled with those first two. But I pray we'd work to do the third one. Lead our family to trust God. God's not concerned about your past. God's only concerned about your present and going forward. What are you going to do with Him in your life? How are you going to live for Him? How are you going to point others to Him? Lead people to Him, but especially lead your family to Him. Christian, ask God to help you become keenly aware of Him on a daily basis. But even this, not just on a daily basis, but throughout your day. It's one thing to have your time of studying God's Word, and it's another to live for Him in every moment of your day. Let God impact every moment of your day and live for Him. Perhaps if we were more aware of Him every moment of the day, we'd walk more like Him. If you're here today and you'd have to admit that you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, don't let this moment go by. Don't let this day go by. Trust Him right now with your life. He can handle whatever it is. You can say, you don't know what I've done. If He could use a man like Abraham, He can use you. And He can do mighty things through you if you'll give yourself to Him. Just ask His forgiveness and place your faith in Him. He will forgive you and give you eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you have some burden, some concern that's weighing you down. I want to say to you, God doesn't mean for you to carry that. He wants you to lay it at His feet. He wants you to give it to Him. Would you trust it to Him right now? Whatever that concern is right now, let God take care of it. Let Him carry it for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the reality that You can use people who simply fail time and time again. God, thank You that through Abraham's example, we see someone that You used in spite of his frailties. And God, even as the writer of Hebrews reminded us, He was a man of faith. A man who later in his life gave everything, Lord, to You. Lord, help us to be people of faith and give everything to You. We know we're going to make mistakes, but God, help us to seek to live for You on a daily basis. God, for those who are here that don't know You, help them right now to have the courage to ask Your forgiveness and place their faith in You. We give this invitation time to You. We ask You to have Your way in this place, right here, right now. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.